First Corinthians chapter 15, if you have your Bible. First Corinthians chapter 15. And I hope you brought your Bible. Now, I don't know why you're here, but I'm here to celebrate the risen Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I hope, look, if you don't know him, I hope you know him by the time you leave.
Amen.
All right. First Corinthians chapter 15, if you have your Bible. And we will read just the first few verses of that, verse 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Isaiah 53 says, the iniquity of us all was laid on him. Verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now, it doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter what you think, what the government says, what the church says, what religion says, what does the Bible say? According to the Scriptures. Amen? All of our faith, everything we know about the Lord, we wouldn't know there was a heaven or a hell if it wasn't for the Scriptures. We wouldn't know there was a Savior if it wasn't for the Scriptures. We wouldn't know how to be saved if it wasn't for the Scriptures. And so everything we believe and know about the Savior is in the written, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. As we think about Easter this week, we need to think about the whole story. On the first day of this week, last week now, on Monday, Jesus Christ entered the city of Jerusalem riding a borrowed colt, and the people of Jerusalem recognized him and praised him and honored him as the King of the Jews. They praised him. Hosanna for him that comes in the name of the Lord. They recognized him according to the Scriptures that they knew and learned growing up, that this was their Messiah. He was their king. And they thought he was coming to set up his kingdom. By the middle of the week, the religious crowd had decided that he was going to ruin their positions of authority. And by sundown on Wednesday afternoon, what we would call Wednesday afternoon, that would sundown be Thursday to the Jew. By that afternoon, the crowd had turned against him, and the religious crowd had tried him illegally as a blasphemer because they said that he has made himself equal with God. The religious Jews refused him, and then they turned right around and they accused him to the Romans because they didn't have the authority to kill him. So they sided up with the world. The world and Jerusalem sided up together, and they got the Romans to falsely try him, beat him without mercy, nail him to a cross, mock him and make fun of him while he died. And then when he died, they took him down and they put him in a borrowed tomb because he didn't have one. And they sealed it with a stone so large it took three men to move it. And they put the Roman seal on it. And they put Jewish soldiers in front of it, and they put Roman soldiers in front of it, because they said his followers will steal his body because he said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. And if they steal his body, people will believe that he resurrected, and it'll cause an uprising, and he'll do what he didn't get to do while he was alive, and we'll lose our positions of authority, and then the Romans are going to kill us all. So they put a guard on him. And they told him, If anybody gets in there, you'll die in his place. Well, early. It's really still Saturday night because the Jews' night day doesn't end until 6 the next morning. They went to the tomb, some of his disciples, especially the women, to add spices to his body so that rotten corpse wouldn't smell. And when they got there, the soldiers were gone. The stone was rolled back, and Jesus was gone. This was before sunup. That's why I don't have sunrise service. I'm not worshiping the sun. The sun was already up and gone when the sun came up.
Yes, sir.
The S-O-N. Amen. Amen. And so when they got there, the angels looked at some of them and said, "What are you doing here? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He has arisen." And that morning, he walked out of that grave and he had victory over death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, we can now be saved by the grace of God, because his death and his burial and his resurrection has fulfilled all the law of God, that whosoever will can come to him, and he has taken your place and paid your sin debt. Paid in full. The earthly priests were just a shadow of Christ there in the Old Testament. He came as both the lamb of the sacrifice and the high priest. John the Baptist saw him before he baptized him, saw him coming over the hill, and he pointed at him, and he knew who he was. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he was recognized over and over during those 33 years, and then during the 3.5 years of his ministry, he was recognized over and over by saints and demons alike. Even the demons would recognize him. They say, "Thou son of David, why hast thou come to torment me before time?" Even the devils knew who he was. James says, "You believe in God, so what? Even the devils believe and they tremble." Amen. He was the perfect mediator. Because Jesus was fully God, he was the spotless lamb, which the law required. In Deuteronomy 17:1 said, if you're going to have a sacrifice for your sins, it's got to be a spotless lamb. And because he is fully man, he could die in man's place. It wasn't just representation, it was fulfillment of all the prophecies that had ever been made. And then, having satisfied God's judgment on sin, he laid it down on that cross. And he said this, "It is finished." Now, because of that, and because he did die, like we just read in our scriptures, according to the scriptures, he died for sins, though he was not a sinner. He died in our place. God accepted that sacrifice. That blood that he shed on that cross, he took up to heaven, he poured it on that mercy seat there at that temple in heaven, and God's wrath was appeased, and the sacrifice of the Lamb of God was accepted, and now whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. It's already paid for. You say, "Preacher, give me proof that that happened. There's been a lot of good men that died." There have. There's been as wrong as Mahatma Gandhi and people like that, you know, and that nun, sister, whatever her name was, you know. As wrong as they were about biblical doctrines, they were good people. They were good people. But they could not die for your sins or my sins, because they couldn't even die for their own sins. Amen? And so Christ, he rose from the grave to prove that the sacrifice had been accepted by God the Father once and for all. Now, a lot of good people's done a lot of good things, you know. There's been a lot of good men, a lot of good women, and they've lived good lives. But let me tell you this. They can't die for your sins. They couldn't even die for their own. And Jesus Christ proved that the sacrifice once and for all was accepted by God himself by walking out of that tomb. No man has ever raised his own body and walked out of the tomb. Only God could do that. And the God-man, God in Jesus Christ, raised that rotten corpse, 3 days rotting in that grave. And he breathed and put back life into that corpse and raised it up and walked it out, an eternal, immortal body that'll never die again. We're going to get that same kind of body, we believers are, when Jesus comes back. He says this mortal, 1 Corinthians 15, if you go on and read it, he says this mortal must put on immortality. Mortal can't go to heaven, can't live forever. He says this corruptible, this old corruptible body, this old filthy, vile, dying everyday body, this corruptible body that gets diseased and decays, and I'll be turning 64 next week, well, it's the 16th, and I feel it more every day. I spent yesterday and the day before with my grandkids. I was so tired when I went to bed, I didn't know if I'd ever wake up. I laid down on those wood chips at the playground while they was playing. I laid down. I'm serious. I laid down flat on those wood chips. I was so tired, and they looked at me like I was crazy. It's the corruptible body. And every day, this thing's dying every day. But Jesus doesn't have a corruptible body. His is now incorruptible. It's immortal. And one day, the trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. And will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And this corruptible will put on incorruption. And it'll never sin again. It'll never go against the will of God again. And it'll be a pure and a perfect body. So therefore, it'll never get sick again. And it'll never die again. Amen. 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 Now that's what that resurrection proves. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. He did that to show us that, hey, nobody's ever done this. You follow me. I'm making you some promises I can keep. There's comfort knowing that I've got an advocate in heaven. The Bible says that he ascended, and now he sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. You know what that means? Do you know what an intercessor is? That is someone that talks for you. He talks for you. Down here, we'd have to hire a lawyer to do that. And I don't know many I'd trust. Actually, I don't know any I'd trust, but I didn't want to say that. But we'd have to, as an intercessor. So, see, I'm too ignorant to stand before a judge that knows everything about law. He'll eat my lunch, man. Do y'all say that up here? I grew up in Lancaster. They said that in Lancaster. He'd eat my lunch. He'd tear me up. Amen? So I'd have to hire a lawyer and pay him a lot of money to intercede to that judge because I don't know what to say. I don't know the law. I don't know how to get out of trouble. I know how to get in it. So I'd have to hire me a lawyer. Well, now I've got an intercessor. And the Bible says he sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. You know what that means? Remember old Holroyd fails and he lets him down. God looks over there at Holroyd and he said, this boy deserves death. And the Lord Jesus said, wait a minute, Father. I've already paid for that. Here's the hole in my hand. Here's the hole in my side. I died and I laid in the grave for 3 days and my corpse rotted for 3 days so that he could be forgiven and I died in his place. I'm his intercessor. Amen. And the Father says, okay, then that grace covers what he just did. Dumb as it was, the grace of God covers that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, because of that. And that resurrection means that I've got proof that Christ died. That's what it means. They got a box over there in, I don't know where it's in, somewhere over in the Middle East, I forgot. But they march around this little house, box-looking thing, and it's got a black rock. And they say that black rock came down from heaven from Muhammad, that Allah sent it. And somehow Muhammad ascended up into heaven. We don't know how that ever happened, but I only had 13 wives, and one of them was 13 years old. But anyway, he ascended up into heaven, and now if you'll march around that black rock at least one time in your life, if you get real close to that, and millions of Muslims do it. If you can get real, they had to put a gate around it and a fence around it because people was kissing it and it wearing it away. Because they thought, if I can just touch that, it came from heaven and I'll get to go to heaven. There's no assurance in that. There's no hope in that.
That's right.
My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. There's no intercessor in a rock. You think the rock's sitting up there beside the right hand of the Father saying, Lord, forgive Billy Burgess? The rock doesn't say anything. Amen. Isaiah 53 verse 5, he says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took, now that baby doesn't even know it was a sinner, and it won't know for several years, but the day it does, it'll be accounted. But he took the sins of that baby, all the sins that baby will ever commit. Now the biggest sin it's committing right now, it lies at night and wakes its mama up, and she thinks it's hurt, and it ain't. It just wants somebody to hold it. That's a lie. Y'all understand that? We're born liars. You understand it? Don't believe nothing that baby tells you. It's all lies. But one day, we get old enough where we do realize that God wouldn't be pleased with me the way I am.
Right.
I didn't even know the Bible. I knew nothing about the Bible. We didn't grow up in church. Right. I didn't know any. I didn't even know people that did grow up in church. But I knew if there was a God in heaven, and there was a heaven, and there was a hell, that I was going to go to hell. I knew that. I knew if there was a holy God, I was not holy. I knew if you had to be sinless, I would never make it. I didn't even know what sin was, but I knew deep down in my heart and in my mind there was that little bit, that seed that God puts down in there that made me realize there's a God in heaven and you're going to have to face Him one day, and are you ready? And I didn't know how, and I did not, oh, I'd heard about Easter. We had the bunny and we had the basket and we had the eggs and we ate ham and mashed potatoes and all that stuff, you know. But we didn't know nothing about God. We didn't know nothing about the Bible. But then one day I was sitting in a church, and a girl got me to go to church, one of my wife's friends. I was 21 years old. And that big old preacher stood up there with those big fat fingers, and he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit said, oh boy, he's talking to you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Spirit said, oh boy, he's talking to you. And there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And the Holy Spirit said, oh boy, he's talking to you. I'd like to say I got saved that day, but it didn't. It took me 3 years. I went back about five times. And every time that fat man preached, he was preaching right at me. I felt like my wife had done talked to him or something. He was preaching against everything I'd ever done. And then finally, on that Marshallville, 1978, the Holy Spirit, I knew it in my heart. And I didn't know anything other than what I'd heard him say. But in my heart, the Holy Spirit was saying, today or never. And I walked down that aisle and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. And I accepted Him as my substitute. He died in my place. And I said, thank you, Lord, for dying in my place. You didn't deserve it, I did. I thanked Him that day. And I didn't know these things, but now I look back on it. You know how you do things. And I look back on it. And in my heart, I thanked Him and I praised Him that He went up to heaven and now He's sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for me, because I need a lot of help. If I got what I deserve since that day, I'd still go to hell. Probably if I got what I deserve, probably by tomorrow afternoon, I'd die and go to hell. I need a Savior. And that day, I asked Him to save me. And He gave me hope, and He gave me peace, and He gave me joy, because He laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Galatians 3:13, if you got your Bible, I'm not going to read but a few verses there. I know you're crowding, it's hot. Verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That day, Jesus Christ became my curse. You see, there was a curse on me and you, and that curse was the death sentence. Because the wages of sin is death, and if we get what we deserve, we're already cursed. This whole, hey, the whole human race is cursed. It started in the garden. It's been going on ever since. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. He was made a curse for us. You see, it's kind of like that old story. The royalty used to have a whipping boy. Y'all ever heard of that? A king would have a whipping boy. They wouldn't whoop the... did I say whoop? I'm in South Carolina. I shouldn't. They wouldn't whip the prince. They would get a little pauper boy and bring him in there and whip him in the place of the prince. Because you couldn't whip a prince because he was going to be king and he'd kill you later. So they'd whip that little whipping boy. That's what they called him. But he got to live in the castle. You know what Jesus became? Our whipping boy. It means that God was satisfied with that death. Ephesians 1, verse 19, 20. You ought to put that kid in the choir. Ephesians 1, verse 19 and 20. And what is exceeding greatness of the power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. You know what His resurrection means? It means that God was satisfied with the death of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He looked down there and he said, son, that satisfies me. What you just did, that satisfies me. And now, because of that, I'll set you at my right hand. You see, you can't satisfy God. You want to know why? Because today, if you do something, which is usually too hard for most of us, that would please God, by tomorrow, you're going to ruin it doing something that wouldn't please God. See, whether you want to admit it or not, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. Some of us are saved sinners. Some are lost sinners. But we're all sinners. We were born sinners. We've been sinning ever since we started this trip. Amen? Like that poor little baby. She's a sinner. She just don't know it. Mama denies it because she's so pretty. But one day, that little baby's going to stand up and realize that she's a sinner and she needs help. Amen? Because our nature is from Adam. And that nature wants to sin. Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, that which I would, I do not.
That's right.
He said, but that which I would not, that I do. He said, so then I find a law within me. That with my mind I serve the law of Christ, but in my members I serve the law of sin and death. Nobody in this room is going to make it out of here alive. Unless the trumpet sounds and you're saved by the grace of God and He changes you and takes you up. You know why? It's because you're a sinner. You say, preacher, I'm not that bad. How many sins does it take to become a sinner?
One.
So if you sin 50 sins, are you worse than one?
No,
it's all sin. And the wages of sin is what?
Death.
How many sins does it take for death? One. So if you get 500 sins, does that make you deader than dead? When was the last time you went down to a funeral home and looked at this guy and said, man, he's really dead. You're either dead or you're not. You're a sinner or you're not. And the only way to get out from under the penalty of sin because of death, you're going to have to accept that a sacrifice that Jesus Christ made in your place so you could be saved. And then, we've been studying in Sunday school, chapter 4 and 5 and 6, He will declare you righteous. Once you go to a court of law, and that judge slams that anvil down and says, innocent. You can never be tried for that crime again. Now you listen to me, everybody he declares innocent is not. Sometimes he gets it wrong. But still, you cannot be tried for that. Amen? And one day God took that heavenly anvil when Jesus died on that cross. 3 days later, he took heavenly gavel, or whatever you call it, and he slammed it down on the mercy seat, and he said, whosoever will be declared innocent because of what my son, he died in their place, he rose the third day. Now, you're justified freely, innocent. You say, preacher, I know some sorry Christians. You're right. But you see, it's not us that declares us innocent, it's him. Another thing that resurrection means. Listen. Are you listening? Yeah. Romans 4:5. In chapter 4, verse 5 says this. Romans 4:5. Let me get over there. It says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You know what that means? That means that I'm not righteous, but I know the one who is. I'm not righteous. I'm counting on his righteousness, not my own.
Yes.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his, according to his mercy he saved us. Amen?
Yes.
And now that empty tomb declares that you can be declared righteous if you'll just trust the one that's already paid for you. It means, listen, it means I'm justified before God. You know what that means? That means that when God looks at me, it looks as if I had never sinned. I'm just as if I had never sinned. I'm justified in the sight of God's eyes. Why? Because you're a great guy? No! Because of what Jesus did. His sinless life. His death in our sinner's place. His rising from the dead the third day. His sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. It does what no man could ever do for us. Only Jesus Christ could do that. And he would not have the authority to do that if he did not raise himself from the grave. Now you go and you count on anything you want to. You join the church, you can get baptized till you wrinkle like a prune and still not go to heaven. They can pour water over you, oil over you, whatever they want to do, and you still will not go to heaven. You can join every church in town somehow. I told this fellow one time, he said, I'm moving my letter. I said, what difference does it make what church you lay out of? You can join every church in town, still not be justified in the sight of God. You can quit smoking, lying. No, you probably won't quit lying. You can quit smoking, cussing, stealing, and still not go to heaven. You're not going to be justified by your works. It's by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We ain't got nothing to brag about. Ephesians 5:8-9. Now, because he died and because he rose, I can be justified, and I have the proof that he has the authority to do that, because I can take you to an empty tomb and he's not there. He has arisen.
Amen.
Well, preacher, there's no proof of that. There's more proof of that than there is you ever were born and lived.
Amen.
You don't believe that? My mama needs toe surgery. She's 99. Y'all pray for her. And she's the toe surgery is serious for her. She had one on the other foot. They took it off 3 or 4 years ago. I wasn't in charge of her health at the time. My older brother, he's gone now. He passed away. I have no records. I remember the doctor did. His wonderful young man just got out of college or whatever they call it. He prayed with me before he operated. He said, preacher, I'll cut, you pray. I said, amen. And he saved her life on the other toe. And now, I can't find him. I can't find the place where she went for treatments after that, because those people have moved. I went over there where it's at. It's gone. They're gone. I don't know where they are. I have no proof they ever even existed. And the doctor she's got now, he just kind of looks at me with one of these faces, you know, while I'm trying to tell him his story. Oh, yeah. I said, he saved her life. And I have no proof that he ever existed. You know, 100 years from now, there won't be much proof you ever even existed. I've been having to take care of cemetery plots and stuff now since I'm the last of 9 children. I'm having to, you know, mom, getting ready for mama. It took me forever to find the plot, the grave place. And then it took me forever to find out who's allowed to be buried there. And it turns out my mom was the last one in her family, the Robinson family, that's allowed to be buried there. But there's 5 spaces left after that. Who gets them? I don't know. Who owns them? The Robinsons. I said, where are they at? I don't know. How do I get hold of that to take care of this stuff? I don't know. Go down there and look at the cemeteries and look at the stones, see if you remember anybody. I don't know those people. My grandfather was born in 1834. Mom was born in 1919. They died in the early 1900s. I don't know. Well, I tell you what, we can run over to Jerusalem this afternoon. And we can walk up on that hill called Golgotha. There's a big old hole over in that hill. And it's empty, bless God. There ain't a bone in it. Amen? Because he got up and walked out. Amen? Got no... Hey, here's my record right here. There's the plots. There's everything right there. I got it. It is written. Woo! That gives me a little thrill, buddy. Because his grave's empty. You know what? Hold on. One day I'm looking at an empty grave too. You're going to see it in the paper. It's going to say Clarence Ronald Roddy. Don't make fun of that name. They use it at Walmart every day. Clarence Sale. Clarence Ronald Roddy. You're going to see that. Born April the 16th, 1954. And by the way, I'm going to make them put in there born again March the 5th, 1978. Oh, yes. And it's going to say died. And I want you to look at that thing and say, that's a lie. He ain't dead. He's alive and well. Because Jesus said, if you believe on me, you'll never die. I'm just going to change locations. That's all I'm going to do. You can write to 777 Gold Avenue if you want to get in touch with me. Amen. And then one day he says, Ron, you've been up here long enough. Let's go get your body. And me and him, my new spirit, is going to walk out there on the edge of the clouds. And he's going to say, Doctor, come up hither. And all the dead in Christ, those graves are going to empty just like that. Going to be gone. Amen. I told a funeral home man the other day, I said, can y'all rent me a plot? He said, we don't rent plots. I said, why not? I said, I'm not going to need it long. You can sell it to somebody else. I'm not going to be there. Amen? I'm going somewhere. Amen? Because of what he did. I serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today. I know that he is living. I don't care what you say. An old black preacher in 1964, the New York Times had on the front headlines, scientists have concluded that God is dead. And somebody went to the old black bishop and said, what do you think about that, bishop? He said, all I got to say, if God is dead, who's this living way down in my soul? Amen. Amen. Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. I don't know about your house, but if you're around my house by supper time, you must be living there. He's living there. Now, today, what does the resurrection of Christ mean to you? Easter eggs, ham, mashed potatoes. That's all he meant to me before I was saved. Or is he your Lord? Thomas said this. Jesus showed up in the upper room. He was seen by over 500 brethren after his resurrection, the Bible says. Over 500 people saw him. 512 if you count, 511 if you count those apostles. And 516 or 17 if you count those women. Seen by him after his resurrection. For over 40 days he walked around and talked to people. Well, Thomas was a Baptist. Because the first Lord's Day, the Lord showed up there in that upper room And he just appeared. He just walked through the wall. He's got a glorified body. He can do that. And they thought he was a ghost. He said, I'm not a ghost. And he sat down and he ate with them. Thomas wasn't there. As soon as the Lord left, Thomas showed up. Ain't that just like a baby? He said, well, I'm not going to believe it till I can put my finger in the print of the nail and thrust my hand in his side. I met him at some business meetings. The next Lord's Day, Thomas just happened to not have anything else to do, and he was at church. And the Lord showed up. Guess who he went to first? He went straight to Thomas. He said, Thomas, it is I. Put your finger in the print of the nail and thrust your hand in my side to see that it is I. And Thomas, like a real Baptist, fell down and he said, my Lord and my God. Is he your Lord? Is he your God? Here's how you get that. You admit you're a sinner. You tell him, God, I'm a sinner. One of your laws and I'm going to hell if I break it. And I broke many more than that. I'm a sinner. But I don't want to go to hell. And you say, if I'd believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there in Romans 10:19, you said, if I'd believe on Him and His resurrection, that you would save me. And you said in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm calling, Lord, and I know I don't deserve it, but I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And I believe Jesus died for my sins, and I'm asking Him to save me. At that moment, you'll get born again. If you mean it, you'll get born again. And one day, they'll go to your grave, and it'll be empty. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God.